I'd like now to welcome Stephen Ovitzky. He's executive director of the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival, which just started last week and runs through the 24th of August. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
It's a pleasure to be here. Welcome back.
Thank you. So the Chamber Music Festival is an amazing Santa Fe institution in many ways, and one of them is that you keep getting these National Endowment for the Arts grants in the American Masterpieces Chamber Music Program. You have something called the American Composers Residency Project, and every year new composers come and you commission new work.
Well, we do. This is a new project from the National Endowment for the Arts. It started about a year or so ago, and we were in the first round last year, and we were lucky enough to be chosen for this round again. And we have a great relationship with the National Endowment for the Arts. The festival often receives grants for its regular series. We've received grants to get our nationally broadcast radio series going and syndicated, and that's the radio series is continuing nationally over the summer quarter and throughout next year. And this project came up that we did a year ago. Last year, Roberto Sierra was here with you.
Whom we talked to on this show.
Right. And this year we have composers that are part of that series. And they're here in Santa Fe with us when their pieces are being prepared in rehearsal. And then they're here for the performances. But they're also doing pre-concert talks. Either Mark Nykrug, our artistic director, or I will be interviewing these composers before the concerts. And the composers are working with graduate students in composition in small master classes that are private. They're not open to the public, but it's a chance for these students to work with major American composers while they're here for the Chamber Music Festival. And this year we have Gunther Schuller, whose quintet for horn and strings will be given its second performance tonight. Its premiere was last night.
I love that he calls himself Gunther Schuller, which is the American pronunciation of a German name, but he's American.
He's American. And then George Stuntakis will be here in August, along with Jared Tate, a wonderful young Native American composer. And oftentimes, the Chamber Music Festival co-commissions works with other chamber music organizations around the country. We have very close partnerships with the Chamber Music Northwest Festival in Portland and with La Jolla Music Society in just outside of San Diego. And together, the three of us are always working on things for the future, new works that by joining forces, we're able to get really first-rate composers to commission works, and it works within our budgets as well.
So, and not only is it good for budget, but it's good for the composer because then they get three venues.
That's the key. The most important thing, I think, for new music is not the world premiere, but the second, third, and tenth performances of those pieces so that they don't just live a short life and that they become part of the repertoire. And that's what all of us are trying to do with the Chamber Music Festival. Mark Nykrug, who himself is a composer, is always on the lookout for other composers that we want to present. And that's we were fortunate enough to be able to commission George Stuntakis, who's a composer who's won numerous awards and who's being honored regularly. The piece he's writing for us is a co-commission with the La Jolla Music Society, and it's for Real Quiet, the group with Felix Van playing cello, and cello, percussion, and piano. And George came up with a great title for it, Stimulus Package.
Nice.
And that will be in August, on August 16th at 6 p.m. at the Lenzic. And George brings in elements of his Greek musical heritage into his pieces. So every time I hear one of George's pieces, I know there's going to be some interesting Greek rhythm or a melodic derivation from Greek music. It's really spectacular music.
And those elements are incorporated into what you might call contemporary classical music type
yes,
of idiom.
That's right. Gunther Schuller, whose horn quintet is being played tonight, has such a remarkably varied background. He himself was the principal French horn player of the Metropolitan Opera in the 50s, and he's writing this piece. I mean, he has written this piece for Julie Landsman, who's currently the principal horn of the Metropolitan Opera and one of our regular visitors and musicians at the Chamber Music Festival. So Gunther feels a very close affinity to this. Being one of the country's leading horn players when he had his horn playing career, it's surprising that he hasn't written a major work for horn in many, many years. And so he was thrilled to be commissioned to do this. And Julie is, and the Moreau Quartet will be playing it tonight. Gunther and I will be doing a pre-concert talk at 5 o'clock at St. Francis Auditorium upstairs in the Women's Boardroom.
And anybody can come to
Anyone can come to that. The concert is at 6 o'clock this evening.
What do you talk about in the pre-concert talks?
Well, Gunther and I haven't decided yet. Partly will be about his writing for the horn, his own vision of how he thinks of this new work, what he is trying to do in... Gunther will be 84 in November. He's one of the deans of American composers. He's done so much. He was a great horn player. He was part of the third stream movement with the Modern Jazz Quartet, combining classical music and jazz in the 1950s. He was the head of the New England Conservatory, the head of Tanglewood, has written some of the great history books on jazz, as well as writing pieces that are performed by major orchestras all over the world. I mean, this is a truly Renaissance man of American music. I first got to know Gunther when I engaged him to conduct the Grant Park Symphony in Chicago, and he said, oh, we're going to be downtown Chicago. Let's do John Alden Carpenter's Skyscrapers, a great piece of American music from the 1920s that no one ever hears anymore. I mean, he has such an incredibly fertile mind, and he brings together his understanding of composition, his work as a conductor. If you may remember in the 70s, it was Gunther who brought out the recordings of the ensemble versions of the Scott Joplin Rags and the Redback book recording on Angel. Gunther just is always thinking about how to bring music to as many people as possible and a wide range of music. And he's also one of the most thoughtful people about training of American musicians and how American musical institutions should look as far as their range of activities. He's truly a brilliant, brilliant guy, and as you can probably tell, one of the people that has influenced me a lot over my career.
Right. I was going to ask you how you choose the recipients of these, how you choose the of the American Composers Residency Project, but I guess that's a no-brainer.
Well, that one, Mark Nykrug, artistic director, generally plans who the composers will be. We have some discussions about who we would like to see commissioned in the future. And Mark has a long relationship with Gunther. Mark studied composition with him at Tanglewood many years ago. So this was something we wanted to do. George Stontakis, again, great American composer. Mark was able to arrange with him to commission a new work. Jarrett Tate, that piece came to us in a different way. Our Carlos Nakai, the great Native American flute player, is a friend of ours. He's performed at the festival, and RC and I serve on a National Composers Forum board together. And he came to us and said that he had commissioned Jarrett Tate, another young American, Native American composer, to write a piece for Northern Plains flute with orchestral woodwinds. And would we do the premiere performance? We wouldn't be commissioning the work, but would we do... And the answer was, of course.
That sounds amazing.
Yes, and so the piece was composed earlier this year, and it will get its premiere at our concert on the 16th of August. Once again, that's at the Lens... I'm sorry, not the 16th, the 20th of August, Thursday evening at the Lensic at 6 o'clock.
Now, it seems that every year you always have at least one composer who is really crossing boundaries into a whole different, whether it be jazz or Native American flute, into something that is outside of the parameters of contemporary classical music.
We're looking for composers, and Mark's vision of the festival is that the music we present should be the widest range of chamber music, small ensemble music. And whether that's a solo harpsichord recital of 18th century music, or new music that by what you might call a very serious composer, or someone who does some of these crossover things. Next year we have some surprises as well, with some new pieces, with Wu Man for 2010 that she'll be performing with us. And there's always a vision of the core of the great standard repertoire pieces, Brahms, Mozart, Schubert, Beethoven, and then some little-known pieces that are really great discoveries. And this year we have a quintet for strings by Walter Braunfels, a 20th century German composer whose career was cut short by the Nazis. And great discoveries. Anyone who loves late Romantic music will find that piece to be a true treasure. But probably no one in the audience will have ever heard it before. So there's little-known pieces by great, well-known composers,
right,
and unknown pieces by unknown composers, but are really enjoyable and refreshing to hear. And then some of the pieces by people who are writing today, and where the music may, to some people, may sound a little bit hard to enjoy, so to speak. But you'll never hear a better performance than what you'll hear at the Chamber Music Festival.
I think one of the things that I love about the Chamber Music Festival personally is getting to go into wherever it is, the St. Francis Auditorium or the Lenzic, other venues that you have. And you have some performances in Albuquerque, too.
In Albuquerque at the Chemo Theater.
At the Chemo, which I think is very important because some of our listeners are in Albuquerque or near Albuquerque. Is that you get to go into a really different space from your regular life and let things maybe that are somewhat unfamiliar to you. Maybe you've never heard that piece by Dvorak before, or maybe it's a new composer who you never even heard of until the day before and you got your ticket, to let it enter you in a way that even though you don't know how to listen to it, or you think you don't know how to listen to it, you just do it anyway and see what happens.
I think you've just hit the important point. Some people say to me, I just wish I knew more about music because I really don't enjoy it. I don't know if I enjoy it enough. And I ask them, how much do you know about cinematography? Well, nothing. Well, do you go to movies? Yeah. Do you enjoy them? Yeah. Do you need to know how they're made technically in order to enjoy the movie? No. Well, the same thing with music. Music is its sound, as you said, how it enters you, how it washes around you. If the sound of a piece, whether it's a Mozart string quartet or a new piece for Cambodian instruments and orchestral strings, whatever it may be, it's the sound that immediately attracts you to music. And you don't have to know about it. You don't have to know the theory. But you can sit and let it wash over you or enter you, as you say, and you can either like it or not like it. And some pieces you will love, and some pieces you'll say, those are okay, and some pieces you'll say, not quite my taste. But it's the same thing when you go to a movie or go to a restaurant or go to a play.
Right.
Or go when you're at an art opening. There's some pictures or sculptures that you may stand in front of for 20 minutes to just drink it in and see it from different angles, and other things you look at and say, I'll walk past to the next one. But music exists in time. It's like a roller coaster ride. You don't get out in the middle. And so the one difference between visual art and listening to new music or any kind of music is that you are in that chair for the period of time the piece takes. And during that time, your mind can wander. You can think about other things. It may bring up other ideas about what your day was like. You may just find the music so beautiful that you're totally focused on the next note the violinist is playing. But all of those are okay. There's no right way to do it.
Well, and I think sometimes when I hear music that doesn't necessarily resonate with me completely, or I don't, you know, what is this? It's not beautiful, it's not harmonious. Then I start to think about what emotions in myself or what emotions around me this music represents in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's completely abstract, but at the same time, there are some pretty edgy or nasty things happening around you in the world all the time. And sometimes you'll hear a piece of music that expresses that in a way that you couldn't put words to.
That's right. And the other thing about it is that sometimes it doesn't express anything. it's abstract, as you said, and there, it's not meant to draw an other than musical connotation. It's meant to be that sound at that moment in the piece.
Right.
And what, however you hear it, works for you.
That's might read all those other things into it.
Which the composer may or may not have intended, but that's not important. The important thing is that you allow it to enter you through the ears. You can see the visual part of a chamber music performance, the intimacy of a chamber music performance, where you may have two or four or five people on stage, and you can see them so closely and so clearly, and see how much each of those players is putting out emotionally and physically into playing the instruments. That's quite an experience. A concert we had on Thursday night, to see Ralph Kirschbaum and Shai Wozner play a Brahms cello sonata, it wasn't just to hear it. You can do that on a CD, but to be there and to get the visual part of watching those two great musicians performing, or hearing the Johannes Quartet play a Brahms quartet and seeing how they interacted with each other. It's, even if you don't like Brahms, you're knocked out by the virtuosity of that particular performance and the event that that performance was.
Stephen Ovitzky is Executive Director of the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival. You can find more about them at santafechambermusic.com. You can also call 505-982-1890. Thank you so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at radiocafe@ksfr.org. We're podcasting at santaferadiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime, thanks to the wonderful Dotfoil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, the Colors of Jazz.